Going to be reading from Isaiah, the 43rd chapter today, verses 16 through 21. As I read these verses, I want to tell you what to listen for. Listen for something that's awful shocking. Listen for something that's awful shocking. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Did you hear it? Did you hear what should be an incredible shock to you? Don't worry, if you didn't, I'll tell you here in a minute. I'm not going to leave you sitting with it and make you go home and go, what did he hear that I didn't? Maybe I should. What do you think? Maybe I should let you sit with that and try to figure out what is so shocking about this scripture. You see, the first part of it tells about a story that we should know. A story that we should be well aware of. You see, I love the stories of the Bible, and I love to step into the stories of the Bible. They're not stories in the made-up sense. They're stories that are true. They're stories of things that actually happened. I wish I could find another word than to say stories. Because so many times people hear stories and they think about nursery rhymes and they think about the Brothers Grimm. They think about stories that we tell our kids. But this is a true story, one that we need to know and one that we need to be aware of. Moses is there with 600,000 Israelites. 600,000. They're standing on the edge of the Red Sea, and behind them they see Pharaoh and the whole army of Pharaoh coming to kill them. Maybe to take some of them back to slavery, back into Egypt, where once again they will live and they will die in slavery. And the people are crying out to Moses, what are we going to do? Look at what's come. Look at what's coming. And Moses tells them some important words. Don't worry. What you see coming at you right now, by the end of today, will be gone. And you won't have to worry about it ever again. You might wonder, if you're one of the Israelites, how's that going to happen? And Moses raises his staff and raises his hands and he says, we don't know. And the waters part. And the people walk across on the dry land. And Pharaoh's army follows them. And what happens next? Come on, you know the story. The waters come back and drown the whole army of Pharaoh. And the people walk free. What an incredible God, huh? What an incredible God that causes that to happen. What an incredible God that opens a way where there is no way. What an incredible God with awesome power to do the impossible. You see, we need to know that that's the God we serve. We need to know that this God can do the impossible. We need to know exactly what God we're talking about. The God that can do the impossible. We must know that. Do you know that God? Do you know that God that does something beyond belief? Do you know that God that causes waters to come down from the heavens when it had never happened before? And this man had spent a year building a boat in his backyard, telling folks, oh, it's going to rain and you can't swim that long. And they had never seen rain before. Read your scriptures. It had never rained before. The God that raises people from the dead. Not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old. The God that walks with three people in the midst of a fire. A fire that is so hot and so strong that when the doors of the furnace are open, the men that are standing there to throw the three men in are succumbed. They're overcome by that intense heat that's coming out of the furnace. And the king looks into the furnace and says, didn't we throw three men in there? And yet I see four. And calls the three men out of the fire, and not a hair on them is singed. A God that does the impossible. A God that brings the impossible through a virgin woman to save us. A God that takes five loaves and two fish and feeds 5,000 men plus women and children. You ever seen that kind of lunch? A couple of loaves of bread and a can of sardines and feeds the whole town of Withville. Think I'll pass on the sardines. I don't know about you guys. A God that does the impossible. A God that resurrects us in the midst of terrible circumstances. Do you know that God? Do you know that God that can do the impossible? Pharaoh's army that you see today, you will never see again. Do you know the impossible? And do you know that God wants to do that impossible? Here comes the shock. You ready? Verses 16 and 17 tell us about who this God is, the incredible power that this God has. And in verse 18 comes the shock. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Wait a minute. Didn't you just tell us to remember who this God is? Didn't you just tell us to remember how powerful this God is? Didn't you just encourage us to think about all the things that this God has done in the past? And now you tell us, what does God say? Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Then God asked us to set aside the good old days. How many of you remember the good old days? Go ahead, you can tell me. The good old days when things were always good, right? They were always right. Things were done in the proper way. You always had everything you needed. Wait a minute, I see some people shaking their head going, no, that's not what it means. But that's what you tell me about the good old days. The good old days, this church used to be full. Oh, that it would be full again. The good old days when your kids always behaved. Come on, some of you got to be laughing at that one. God says, then forget the good old days. The first church that I worked at, part-time as a minister of outreach, every Sunday, almost every Sunday that I came, they would tell me about the good old days when the church was full. Almost every Sunday. And they would tell me who sat here and who sat there. And we had standing room only. Always about the good old days. But yet God says right here, God's first words in this passage are, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. After Isaiah reminds us of all the good old days. Do you see the shock there? That's pretty shocking for Isaiah to say, hey, remember the good old days? Think about the good old days and how powerful our God is. And God says, oh, forget those. Set them aside. Don't dwell on them. Instead, here's what God calls us to do instead. Instead, we should open our eyes to what God is springing up in front of us. Instead, we should open our eyes to what God is springing up in front of us. Now, Coach, I know you mainly did basketball, but when you're teaching somebody in baseball, what do you teach them? They're up to bat, and what do you tell them? Keep your eye on the ball. Suppose they're paying attention to what's going on the outfield. You think they're going to hit the ball? Suppose they're looking back to the dugout to find out what the coach wants them to do, and the pitcher pitches the ball. Are they going to hit it? You run into bases. What are you supposed to do? If you're on first base, keep your eye on the ball, but most importantly, keep your eye on the coach on third base. He's going to tell you when you need to move, right? And when he tells you, you better move. You see, if we keep looking backwards, we're going to miss this new thing. Because I am very confident that God is springing up something new in front of us. God is always about doing new things. God is always about doing impossible things. God is always about doing things that we think we can't do. Amen? Oh, Lord, we've tried for years and years, but the good old days, how wonderful they were. Right? And God is yet springing up something new right in front of us. God is springing up something new. As I've been outside and as I've been running from time to time, I've been watching the buds on the trees. Absolutely incredible. It amazes me. It absolutely amazes me. This little bud, it's got four or five leaves in it. And that thing breaks open, and these leaves come out of it. There is always something springing up right before us, folks. Always. My last year of college at Virginia Tech, I roomed with two guys, very good Christian friends. One of the guys that roomed with us, let me tell you a side story first. He couldn't cook. And we traded weeks cooking so that the other two people could be busy about studying the week it wasn't their time to cook. And Willie, or Scoobs, as we called him, because he wouldn't tell us what his middle name was. He just told us it was an S. So we called him Scoobs. because he wouldn't tell us what his name was. Him and I had the week off, and Lee was the cook for us. And both Scoobs and I are scratch cooks. Grab something out of the kitchen, throw it together, measure it in your hand. We don't need measuring cups or teaspoons or tablespoons. And he had watched us do that all year. So he decided to surprise us. And he made dessert to go along with dinner, which was not normal for us. He made us brownies. We were so excited until we tried to chip them out of the pan. Tried to chip them out of the pan. That's exactly what happened. We had to throw that pan away. It was like concrete. And we were like, "Well, Lee, what did you do?" He said, "Well, I've watched you guys substitute things and do this." And he says, "We didn't have any eggs, so I figured I could make the brownies without eggs." Brownies without eggs is concrete. That's how you make concrete, by the way. Brownie mix and no eggs makes concrete. Just keep that in mind. That pan was pitched. Lee was pretty good, but we found out as we lived with him, he was in his own little world, and he almost never saw things around him. Almost never. Now, I understand, because he was trying to be a chemist, and he was taking organic chemistry, and those of you who have taken organic chemistry, you know. If you haven't taken organic chemistry, thank God that you didn't have to take that. Okay? Organic chemistry is nothing but a whole year of memorizing stuff. That's all it is. I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to any of it. You just memorize stuff. We found out that when he walked from our apartment to school, that Lee never saw a bird. Not once. He never saw a flower. We got asking him about it and said, "Lee, didn't you see things?" "Nope. Never saw it." You see, folks, sometimes we're the same way. Sometimes we're so caught up in the past that the new thing God does right in front of us will be missed. We're so caught up. The new thing God does right in front of us will be missed if we focus on the past. If we keep living the good old days, we'll never see what God is doing right in front of us. If we keep living the good old ways, we'll never see the new thing that God is doing right in front of us. Do you realize that when Moses stood on the shore of the Red Sea and 600,000 plus people behind him, that the waters had never parted before? Do you realize that? They're standing right there. They're caught between the waters that they can't swim across and Pharaoh's army. Do you understand their fear? And God parted the waters so that it was dry ground so they could walk across. That had never happened before. They were trying to live in the good old days. We got to fight them. If we're going to win, we got to fight them if we're going to get rid of them. We don't have any weapons of war. We don't have any way to do that. And Moses said, "What? Oh, don't worry. What you see behind you, you'll never see again." Do you realize God's about doing new things? Do you realize that God's doing new things right in front of us? And sometimes, because we're so caught in living in the past and living the good old days, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. I've heard it before. "Well, we've always done it this way." What if God shows us a new way to do it? "Oh, no, God, you can't do that. We've always done it this way." Now, how much sense does that make? No, God, you can't do something new. No, God, you can't do the impossible right in our presence. We won't know how to react then. I think we do know how to react, don't we? Praise God. Look at what has happened. Look at what's going on. Look at what God is doing. God is working in people's hearts in Withville, preparing them to be here with us already. God is already doing that. Are we out there looking for him? Oh, Lord, we've never done that before. We just open the doors on Sunday and turn the lights on and hope they come. Because they used to come in the good old days. God's doing something new in our presence, folks. I can feel it and I can see it. Can you? Can you see what God's doing in front of us? If not, it's time to pause. It's time to pause and wait a moment. It's time to pause and see if you can see it. Because God is doing something new. It is springing up right in front of us. And if we don't see it and join God with what God's doing, then God's going to say what? I'm not going to do it in front of you anymore. If nothing else, that should be what we've learned through Jeremiah on Wednesday nights. God continually did for the people over and over and over again, and the people continued to say, no, God, you can't do it that way. We do it this way. God is preparing hearts. God's already about doing that. The evidence is already here. Are you seeing it? Are you trying to live in the good old days? Because God's first words in this passage were what? Do you remember? Forget. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Forget them. Don't dwell on them. It's not time for us to look back to when this church was full. It's time for us to look forward to how God is trying to fill it now. That's what it's time for. It's time to look forward to how God is trying to fill this church now. If it's different than the way it's been filled in the past, praise God. We shouldn't stand there and go, God, we never did it this way before. And to hear God call down from heaven, so you've always done it wrong? By the way, as a pastor, that's one of the first ways you can get fired. When somebody says, Pastor, we've never done it that way before. Well, you've always done it wrong? Folks, do we want God to call down to us and say, I'm working it right in front of you and you're missing it? You're missing it. Can you see it? Let's pray. Lord, sometimes it is awful hard to see. Sometimes it's hard to see because we have our expectations that we feel should be filled. We have our expectations to, it's always worked this way, Lord. And yet, Lord, I know because I've seen it. You are doing something new in front of us. Right here in the midst of our town and our county, you are doing something new. Open our eyes that we might see it. Open our eyes that we might join in with it. open our eyes that we might look forward to it, not back to what we've done before, but forward to the new thing that you're doing, the new way that you're working. Lord, help us to see it, please. And give us the boldness and the courage to join you as you are doing it, that this church once again might be filled with people who praise you, people who serve you, and people who give their whole life to you. Lord, help us to see the new thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.